This being the first Sunday of the month, the children are downstairs, and we generally have somebody sharing a spiritual journey with us. This morning, we are lifting up the small group ministry program in our congregation, a program in which close to half of our members and friends participate, which is wonderful. And in order to let you know more about that, we're going to have a workshop afterwards, which we're meeting in the library for a kind of small group ministry experience, practice session, see if you like it, and we'll have sign-up sheets if you are interested. So we thought you'd like to hear from some people who participate in small group ministry, and they can tell you their journey in that program. Virginia, can you come share with us? Thank you. Virginia Carter, a real veteran of small group ministry.
No.
Good morning. I thought you were going to explain how it worked. So let me just say how it works, first of all. A small group is maybe up to 8 or 9 people, and you get together, at least our group does, every other week. Rain or shine, even if there's only 1 or 2 people available, and if there's all 8 available or 9, that's great too. And it's usually got kind of a fixed program. We're starting out with a check-in where everybody talks about what's going on in their lives. And then moving on, if there's time after the check-in, which occasionally takes a long time, to a program where we've decided in advance what we'd like to talk about. We might talk about gift-giving at Christmas time and how it makes us feel, or how it feels to have family around or not have any family, or things that are slightly of a more religious bent, but different topics that people have agreed to talk about. What I meant to say today was, because I thought you had covered all of that, was that I think what small group is for me is an opportunity. And I think that that's the way to think about it. I mean, too often, we get to know people on a kind of superficial level. You know, they're acquaintances, but they're really not very close friends. And we see them here, and we maybe see them at a meeting or two, and then we go home. And that's, you know, we wave at them in church. Hi, how are you? And I think what small group does is provide us with an opportunity for sharing and some in-depth knowledge and understanding. The check-in and the programs tell us about family and health and worries and dreams. They tell us about individual likes and dislikes, sorrows, joys, opinions, and worries. And I think that these things all tend to personalize our relationship. And the result is that we often make good close friends who share our joys and sorrows and our advances and our setbacks. And beyond that, they can even share our life experiences, our adventures, our travels. But most of all, I think that they're available when we need them, these other people that we've become familiar and comfortable with. And we, in turn, are there for them when they need us.
Thank you, Virginia. Thanks for doing my part. Knew I could count on you. Ann McNamara.
Good morning, everybody. I belong to a small group. Belong. We've been in existence for about a little over 2 years, and we have 8 members. One of the things you may not know about me is that I am an introvert, and even though I greet you, I'm very much an introvert and value my alone time. It also makes it hard for me to really get to know people, and that's what I value, is to know people deeply. So a couple of years ago, when small group was announced that people were forming groups, I kind of pushed myself and said, well, I'll get to know people better and deeper, and that sounded good to me. And people will get to know me, too, and that was important. So I looked at the word belong to try and find some meaning to the word belong, because I belong to a small group. It means to fit in, to include in, to embrace, to embody, to encircle, to be an integral part of a whole. All of those things are so important to me, as I know they are for most of you. Okay? So when it's group night, I walk into the home of a group member. We embrace each other. Not only do we hug, but we literally embrace each other. We care about each other. We welcome each other. We support each other. As we begin the formal part of the group, we light a circle of candles that are shining brightly. And we form a circle around that circle of bright burning candles. And we embrace the quiet within ourselves, around in the room, the quiet. We embrace what we share with each other. We listen, okay? We hear the readings that someone has brought and share on the topic. And we listen and we embrace. We form a whole. There is such deep respect and caring and love encircling us in the group. Each of us listens and learns about ourselves and each other. We are an integral, each of us, integral part of this whole, of this group, of this sharing of self. We belong with each other and become one. As we come to the end of our meeting together, we stand and we hold hands in a circle. And we recite, it is a blessing to be here together now. All of the verses of that. We stand and hold hands, and I know I feel I belong. I know I fit in and I'm included. I know I'm embraced and embodied and encircled with love, and I feel an integral part of a whole. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne. We have 8 small groups in this congregation, I'm happy to say. And as I said, today we will be offering a short, about a half an hour introductory workshop after the service for those of you who have questions or might be interested. And if there are some interested, we may form some new small groups. It's a wonderful ministry of this congregation, as you learned from Virginia and Anne. Thank you. Connection, community, caring, oneness, open-heartedness. These are the thoughts that embrace us this morning. I want to open with a poem named Parable, so you know it's important. Parable, written by Wisława Szymborska. Some fishermen pulled a bottle from the deep. It held a piece of paper. The paper had these words, "Somebody save me, I'm here. The ocean cast me on this desert island. I am standing on the shore waiting for help. Hurry, I'm here. There's no date. I bet it's already too late. It could have been floating for years, the first fisherman said. And he doesn't say where. It's not even clear which ocean, the second fisherman said. It's not too late. It's not too far. The island here is everywhere, the third fisherman said. They all felt awkward, and no one spoke. That's how it goes with universal truths. That's how it goes with universal truths. My friends, there is no island of here. We are all everywhere. We create our islands of here, our separateness, our isolation, our fears, our angst. We are the creators of those islands. When the truth is, there is only everywhere. There is only everyone. We are all cells in the body of humanity, and humanity is a cell in the body of the universe. Even our seventh principle goes pretty far on that issue, telling us that we affirm the interconnected web of all creation, no end, all creation, of which we are a part. There is no separation. We create our separate hells. We create our separate prison cells in some ways. We've all heard about there being folks who live lives of quiet desperation. I think most of us have known times of quiet desperation. I think it is all part of being part of the body of humanity. It is a human experience, nothing to be ashamed of and hide. How we hide. I have hidden with shades drawn in isolation, as has just about every good friend I know. People who are close enough to me to share their truth. So, it is the very definition of alienation to feel outside of something that you are really inside of. Feeling outside of something you are really inside of, that's that whole thing about there is only everywhere. There are not separate islands of here. I have found myself standing on the shore of my self-created island, saying, hurry, hurry, help me. Hurry, hurry, help me, I'm here. And you know, when you're in beloved community, when you're in a place like this, when you're in a community that meets in the sanctuary, that is safe, that is caring, that's, you know, I mean, that's our culture here. Other churches have other cultures, goody, goody. Our culture is that we're safe and we are here for one another. So here, when you're standing on your island of here and on the shore, you know what? We don't have to do it alone. We don't have to be ashamed, and we don't have to close the doors or pull the blinds. And that's an incredible gift. I think you see in every area of life people trying to connect. It's like a real human need. When prisoners in prisons or prisoners of war are separated and put in solitary, they find a way, don't they? They find a way, whether it's tap, 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 or notes or scratchings, or even just communicating with the ants and the spiders. They find a way to communicate because that's part of being human, that need to communicate. So who among us has not experienced that awkwardness? I know I've been at parties, people think I'm an extrovert. Do you think I'm an extrovert? Yeah, and I'm not, The tests prove it. I'm not really an extrovert. And there are times I feel uneasy. And there are many times I've left places early because the island, the separate place, felt safer to me than the group. And, I do pretty well with, being there in a group. But here I love it. But, so we've all experienced that. The truth is, there really are no outsiders. I'm really not an outsider. There is only everywhere, and there is only oneness. So here we are at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of South County, seeking a meaningful experience, right? You're here to seek a meaningful experience. Faith has been called meaning making. We come here to make meaning of life. Forest Church, one of our beloved ministers who passed away a few years ago, said that, we come here to make meaning of the facts, the dual realities, that we exist, that we're alive, and that we're going to die. So we're here to make meaning. And the bonds among us are a necessary part of that experience, because a solitary experience of meaning making has its limitations. In a growing church, it can be easy for some to become over-casual about connections. We're so busy. We've got all kinds of skills these days. We can surf the web. We can surf the waves. We can go to the gym anytime, and I mean anytime. I joined Anytime Fitness. What was I thinking? I don't go. I thought, anytime. No. We can use a DVR system on our televisions. Okay, I don't know about that yet. We can socially network in so many ways, ways I don't even know exist, but they're out there. But what we really are in need of is soul skills. Soul skills. That's part of the meaning making that we come here for. This is a safe place to say, hey, I need help. I want to learn about how to do this. And we learn together soul skills. So, John Donne wrote this poem, "No man is an island unto himself." And it ends with the lines, "Do not ask for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for you." So those fishermen out there on the boat, two of them didn't hear the bell. Two of them came up with their defensive answers about, it's too late. Which ocean is it anyway? Who knows? The bell tolls for all of us. The third fisherman knew that and heard the bell tolling and knew that there are no limits to possibilities. There are no limits to possibilities when we recognize the oneness and the connectedness. That power and that energy of connection can, in fact, move mountains and find someone on the island. Now, I have something else to say about the bell tolls for you. This is kind of a cute way to give a membership committee message. You might have noticed in the morning, I ring the bell 3 times. We're asking people to come on time. The bell tolls for you. Really, there are those who come into worship for worshipful time and who are find it difficult when people come in late. And so because of our connectedness and because of our caring about one another, we're asking you to stretch and try and come on time so we can experience the bell tolling for us together. Now, all of these things about sharing and safety and connectedness and, you know, that awkward feeling that you have sometimes, all of those issues are issues that are addressed in small group ministry. I think Virginia and Anne made it perfectly clear this morning that small group is beloved community within the larger beloved community. It's a little hard in the larger community sometimes to find ways to connect, although I'm very happy to say that circle dinners are starting, and that's going to be great. It's going to be a great way to connect in smaller, changing groups. But small group ministry is tried and true. It's tried and true. It brings people closer connections with one another. People come together and have the opportunity, actually the expectation of doing deep listening and actually being deeply listened to. Very, very precious experiences. They engage spiritually important issues, and confidentiality is part of the covenant. Each group covenants together. They form their own sacred promise, which is what covenanting is, about how they're going to be in their groups. This is one way of building spiritual community. And its function is crucial within our congregation. We come together in small groups to share faith struggles together, to grapple together with the tough questions, the tough times, and the tough people, because we are a faith community, and that's what we do. I say the tough people because if there are folks in the community that have challenges, you can be guaranteed they're going to join a small group. It's the way it works. And the great news is that we get to stretch ourselves. We get to stretch our minds, we get to stretch our hearts, and we get to stretch our spirits to understand one another. Many times I've shared with you one of my favorite phrases with my late partner, Richard. We were very, very different. We had different points of view on everything. And when he said things that blew my mind, instead of saying, "Are you crazy?" I learned to say, "Tell me more about that. Help me understand. Help me understand." And you know what? We learned a lot from each other that way. And that's the kind of thing that can happen in small group, where you are grouped with people that you might not ordinarily be grouped with. So it's really a great ministry of this congregation. And the truth is, we need connection. We need connection. I like to think there's like this, like universal metronome going back and forth and back and forth. And it's connected to our hearts. It doesn't have to be synchronized with our hearts, but it's energetically connected with our hearts. And we are all connected that way. And just like we need air to breathe, we need connection to that metronome and to one another to exist and to not be lost in a life of quiet desperation. We have very good news here at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of South County. We are not alone. We are a beloved community. We have small groups which are beloved community within beloved community. And there is not a week that goes by. Sometimes there's a day that goes by, but not many, that I don't really feel tears in my eyes because of something I witness here, because of a kindness or a concern, private, unheralded, that is substantial and amazing and important. So that's what I have to say on connectivity at Unitarian Universalist Congregation of South County and the entire body of the universe. Welcome home. Welcome home. Blessed be. And amen. In closing, the words of St. Francis of Assisi's prayer, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, and it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Blessed be. Amen.